It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you. You, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 234-343-1065. That's 234-343-1065. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Toonforce.
No. Good day, good day, good day. And welcome to Speak Out 2.0. Live from our Bullhead City studio, where it is Monday, the 24th of the month already. Realize a week from today is the 1st? Wow. Yes. Today along the river, it should be pretty nice. It's going to be around 70-ish. A little chilly in the mornings. Yep. A lot of rain on Saturday. And our guest today on Speak Out 2.0. Well, first of all, let me tell you that I'm Larry Toonforce. And if you have questions during the program, you're always invited to call in. 234-343-1065. Or, if it's easier for you, you can text a question. Yeah, we make it simple here. We're Radio Central. We want it to be easy for you. Okay, text this phone number, 928-727. It's right here. Right here in my hand. 727-5566. And you can text that any question you want, and we'll ask them for you on the air without your name, because we don't know who you are. Who's we? Me and Rich. Hi, Rich Levin. How are you? So I must tell the audience that a couple months ago, Rich came in here, and he said, "What do you got to eat?" I go, "I got nothing to eat. I got water." And he went and raided one of the realtor's desks. And so today, I had Oreos for him.
They're pumpkin flavor, a Halloween design.
And Tristan Johnson came in here on Friday with Arizona Financial, and he just brought in a bag of potato chips that Rich just devoured. Do you always come on the radio starving?
Yeah. Do you know what? Have you looked at the ingredients of these Oreos?
Why would I? I bought them for you.
What the hell is Yellow Five Lake?
Oh, that's ooh. It's too bad you've already had six.
How about calcium phosphate? corn syrup. Look at this, man. High fructose corn syrup. I know that's not good, but I'm going to have another one. So I'll hold myself to two of the Oreos.
Two now or two earlier?
No. I only had one earlier.
Oh, okay.
I have one now.
Okay. So we don't have a green room here at the radio. No, and of course, in Havasu, they have a kitchen without a sink. But we do have a room above the refrigerator over there for Oreos.
They're good.
Yeah. Rich Lettman, our Mojave County Supervisor for District 2, Bullhead City. And you got the easiest district. You know that.
I do know that. And our level of visitors who come to the office, we're supposed to be tracking how many people come in. I don't think we do, because there's not much to track.
Right.
So there's no question, when your district is effectively the city limits, that many of the items the other four supervisors have to deal with, just take planning, zoning, code enforcement, law enforcement. We just, hand out on a pre-printed piece of paper the address for City Hall on Green
right.
Avenue.
But you, as the supervisor, still have to stay on top of the other issues for the other four supervisors.
I do.
Because you got to vote on them.
And I do.
And you have to stay on top of all that stuff.
I do, and I would. I don't know this for a fact statistically, but I would contend to you that I'm probably do more travel around the county than any other supervisor. But and that's not a put down on the others at all.
Right.
But I like the term I am everywhere.
And you just went to the Colorado Strip.
Yes, up to the Arizona Strip.
Is it hard to eat and talk at the same time?
It is not. But what food coloring do you think they put in this?
I don't.
Orange Oreo.
I don't know. I bought it for Halloween.
Yeah. But yes, I did just spend 2.5 days up there in Littlefield, Beaver Dam Scenic. great area of
the county.
It is
beautiful up there.
Oh, it's stunning. And then went through St. George on the way over to Colorado City and Centennial Park, another beautiful, interesting area of the county. A lot of special needs up there. While I was in Littlefield, Beaver Dam, excuse me, I did have an opportunity to take a look at the new building. It's not new. It's going to be repurposed that we are going to turn into our sheriff's substation, replacing a double-wide trailer.
Finally.
That has got to be from the 1960s, at
wow.
least. It's amazing people work inside that trailer up there.
Well, and they don't do a lot because your deputies up there are what they call resident deputies. They respond from their home, and they, you know, probably 90% of their work they do at their kitchen table.
I will not go into the deputy sheriff coverage schedule for North Canyon or North County, whatever we're going to call it now, like there, but... yeah, they occasionally, those phone calls go to somebody's house.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily live in Mojave County, but they either live in St. George or Mesquite
sure.
or Kanab or Fredonia.
Yeah, they live all over.
I think one or two of them actually live in Beaver Dam.
It's the same thing with our Arizona Highway Patrol up there.
Uh-huh.
You know, they work from their homes and they park their cars in their driveway and respond from their house.
Well, actually, they have a very nice station up there.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
DPS absolutely has a great one next to our shoddy double wide trailer from the 60s. But anyway, the sheriff got a state grant for money several years ago for substations. You see the results of it with the one down in Lake Havasu.
And
pretty nice
Mojave
facility.
Valley.
And in Mojave Valley. Mm-hmm. Leftover funds. It's now North Canyon's turn or North County's turn to get a place that we can call home that we're proud of. And it's a nice building. It's got a few occupants in it. They'll be out of there by sometime in February, and we can start the remodel process. And it's directly
it's a county building.
It will be. We're purchasing it.
Oh, okay.
It's privately owned.
Oh, okay.
And it is directly to the on ramp off ramp for I-15 at Desert Springs. I mean, the building.
Okay.
In a car to heading southbound, it would take you 90 seconds to get on the highway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, northbound take a little longer, maybe 2 minutes.
All right. Okay. So what else did you learn on the strip?
A lot of needs up there.
And you were with Supervisor Lingenfelter.
Yes, he was up there also. And we're going up and looking, trying to better understand the needs of the North County area. There's a lot of... a lot of issues up there relative to health care, to law enforcement, to the judicial system, infrastructure, water, sewage, a lot of stuff going on up there, a lot of needs they have, and of course, a rapidly growing area.
Right.
And, of course, the folks up there are wonderful. So you have a community that was at one time really broken into three camps of people. One of the camps is pretty much caught up and left. The leader of that group, of course, is in prison in Texas. But the remaining groups that are there behind, it looks like they're really coalescing together, getting a lot of stuff done. When I was up there, we had one of the gentlemen up there for the UZONA, and that's what they call it, the Utah-Arizona Chamber of Commerce. They had organized these events to showcase opportunities in the community that private foundations might be interested in helping funding, and they had a good turnout.
Good.
I was pleased with what I saw. An item of great interest to me was the proposal for a off-road biking facility directly east of Colorado City that would eventually enter the hands of Mojave County as part of our Parks and Recreation District.
Okay.
And it's years away, and the development would be privately funded.
They're fairly organized up there for the size of their community.
I would say they're extremely organized. they've got it together. By the way, great people up there. No matter what you've heard about Colorado City and Centennial Park, wonderful people. They're patriots. They love their community. They love the land where they live. You know, there's a lot of history, culture there. Not all of it's good, okay, but these folks are in the process of putting their community back together.
They want to put Warren Jeffs behind them.
Yes. Well, he's in jail.
Well, I know, yeah. but his name and,
absolutely.
And the issues.
And all the trauma associated with that throughout a community. And it's there. And there's a healing process going on. And, you know, what little part the county can play in that, we will. And we're proud to be up there. We're proud to call them part of the county we live in.
Yeah.
So they are part of us. They're in our DNA. And I enjoy going up there, understanding the problems, and then, you know, we'll come up with solutions.
Many, 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 many years ago, we had a Bullhead City chief who had been let go by the council, mm-hmm. and or the city manager, I guess, at the time. It was the council. And he then went to work for the sheriff's office, mm-hmm. and he was sent up there as a resident deputy. So when I went up to visit him, he said, bring a tent and a sleeping bag. I said, what? Because he was living in an RV, fifth wheel, in an RV park, and I had to sleep outside the RV. But it was a cool area. I just, you know, we went on a couple hikes and stuff, and just, I liked it.
You know, a lot of it resembles, of course, you're near Zion National Park.
Yeah.
And all of that. So a lot of red rock country around there, and I'm not going to suggest to you that it's Sedona, but it's pretty stunning scenery around there with the Red Park, and they just have such tremendous opportunity. And, you know, they want to build a community that provides, you know, employment and jobs and opportunities for the people that live there. You know, I completely sign on board with that. But they want to do it in a controlled, well-thought-out manner. And that's the beauty of that area up there, and the beauty of having somebody like Chairman Lingenfelter be the supervisor for that district. You know, him and those communities are very well connected. He does an outstanding job. He's extremely well respected up there, no matter where he goes. So I like that.
But the other three supervisors didn't join you.
No.
Okay. All right. But they were invited, I'm sure.
I do not know.
Oh. How's our Davis camp?
It is coming along. One side note to all of that is our director of parks, Jeremy Palmer, recently left the county. Yeah, I hated to see that one. He's done a good job, and he's gone to work for the city of Kingman.
Wow.
We appear to be a very good training ground in some areas.
So he works for Ryan Frewerth?
No, he works for Tim Walsh.
Oh.
Who is the city manager, who also left
Yes.
Mobby County to go over to Kingman. Yeah, and Mayor Ken Watkins. They're all great people.
Yeah.
We like them a lot. But so Jeremy has left us. That's left a little bit of a void. The county has posted that position for, you know, an employment opportunity for the right person. And we look forward to having a replacement come in for Jeremy to keep things on track, get him back in track in terms of the master plan for Davis Camp. You know, it's interesting. I'm up in Colorado City. What do we hear about? We don't have a county park up here.
Ooh.
We need a county park, et cetera. Well, we all know who pays the bill for the county parks around here, and that's the revenue.
Davis Camp.
Davis Camp.
Yeah.
So my approach is part of fighting for Bullhead City. When you have the big park, the moneymaker park in your district, we're going to take care of Davis Camp kind of first, I'd call it. And the reason for that is, as in any business, if you want to generate more profit out of a park, and I would say the amount we get out of Davis Camp today is fairly modest relative to the amount they take in, there's such opportunity to improve that, get more overnight visitors, get more long-term visitors, get more day visitors, you know, improve the facilities. There's been some of that going on, but we are significantly not where we should be at.
There's more room there for beach.
Oh, absolutely. You've got a whole island out there.
Yeah.
That you could put beach stuff on.
Yes. I mean, to increase the population there on the weekends is very possible.
Yeah, sure. So you're going to see Davis Camp get incorporated into more items relative to Davis Dam. And we've had some fun things going on up there since the last time I saw you. We had the dam tours. They finally painted the state line on top of the dam. That happened about 3 weeks ago. That kicks off a whole series of not changes, but improvements to the trail system in terms of understanding where you're at on a trail. You have to have there are no distance markers inside the whole
correct
that whole series of parks. Clark County has one side of it, Bullhead City and Mojave County have the other side. And of course, you know, I think most of us are aware we had a fatality early in 2025 where a gentleman had a heart attack over on the Nevada side and called EMS and they couldn't find him. There's no numbering system around the trail, so the first step in getting the numbering system put in is to have mile marker zero, okay, and that was determined that it would be the state line on top of Davis Dam. And then you have one of two choices. You could do a clockwise rotational around the Davis Dam loop, which takes you down through the Arizona, across the dam by the powerhouse, takes you down through the area that was recently opened about 4 years ago, through Davis Camp, down to the bridge by the riverside, across the bridge, across the pedestrian bridge above 163, up the Nevada side, back to the state line. One problem with that, in terms of the numbering system, that to us made the most logical sense.
And there's no parking at the state line.
No, you can. So you, well, there's parking by the dam. It's all of what 200 yards away.
Yeah.
So anyway, you would have that as mile marker zero, and you would start your every half mile going clockwise around. One big problem: the part of the trail that crosses the bridge by the riverside has not been incorporated into the trail system. That would be the roadway across because it is not ADA compliant. So what I mean by that is two wheelchairs going in opposite directions cannot pass each other on the pedestrian section of that bridge.
So in other words, four wheelchairs wide.
Two wheelchairs wide. So you can't, you have one headed eastbound from Nevada to Arizona and the other one is headed from Arizona westbound into Nevada. Those two, there's not enough room in the pedestrian walkway of that bridge for two wheelchairs to cross each other.
Oh,
to pass each other.
I beg to differ. I've walked it 100 times or more.
It's not ADA compliant.
So maybe ADA compliant requires extra space on each side of the wheelchair or in between them or something.
Yeah.
But
it's a pretty tight fit. I've walked it and almost got hit by a bike.
Well,
walking across that thing. They're pretty tight.
It's busy. Word. It's busy,
yeah.
And it can be when the weather's right.
So anyway, the trail system's never incorporated into the bridge. So what they're going to end up doing instead is having two sets of distance markers. The one that heads through Arizona, you'll have the distance marker will say AZ 0.5, AZ 1.0. So you'll have it, and of course it will stop at the intersection by the parkway and the bridge.
Right.
The Nevada side will start at Nevada 0.5, and it will end as the trail ends at the western side of the of that Don Laughlin Bridge. And so, anyway, it'll make it very easy for EMS, EMT, if you sit there and say, I've been hurt, I'm near a sign that says AZ 1.5, okay, or I remember walking by that about 5 minutes ago, they'll know where you're at, and they can find you. Does that make sense?
No, because the bridge started in Laughlin. It was started with Laughlin Grant.
Mm-hmm.
My friend wrote the grant. And that should be zero, and it should just go all the way around. To start it in the middle, where no one goes there to start, you either park on the Nevada side or park on the Arizona side. That doesn't make sense. But that's my opinion.
Okay.
Speak Up 2.0 is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative. Oh, yeah. Did you know you can sign up with MEC through TWN? Yeah, or TWN through MEC? You can. Call 928-763-1100. Also, brought to you by Laughlin Ranch Golf Club. It's the number two golf course in Arizona. And boy, today, it's probably packed. You want to book your tee time, go to LaughlinRanch.com.
Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Hoping that the train is on time.
Have you recently been affected by an internet or phone outage? TWN Communications Fiber Internet is the most reliable in town. Live life uninterrupted with TWN Communications fast, reliable, 100% fiber internet and digital phone services. Sign up today. Visit TWNCOMM.com/MOHAVE or call 888-227-2095.
Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply. Visit TWNCOM.com for more details and terms and conditions of service. service.
Looking great in the wind and dry winter weather is not easy. Let the spa at Laughlin Ranch Golf Club help you out. During November, 10% off on all massages, deep tissue, Swedish, hot stone, CBD, anti-aging, and golfers. 50-minute massages or 80-minute massages are available. This midweek special is made for relaxing. Plus, take 10% off all gift cards in the spa. Give the gift of relaxation for Christmas. Nothing takes the place of a professional therapeutic massage. Only at the spa at Laughlin Ranch. Book online at LaughlinRanch.com.
Too soon? Maybe it's a little early for Christmas music, but it's never too early to prep your home for the holidays. Stay ahead of the holiday chaos with TWN's fast, reliable 100% fiber internet. Keep your holidays festive, fun, and stress-free. Visit TWNCOM.com/Mojave. That's TWNCOMM.com/Mojave. Or call 888-227-2095 to sign up now. Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply. Visit TWNCOM.com for more details and terms and conditions of service.
It's never easy to talk about end-of-life care. When someone close to you is in his or her final days, there's just so much to consider. When you need help, you can count on the expertise and compassion of KRMC Hospice. Our team provides a broad range of skills, from medical care to chaplaincy and respite care. We help you focus on the quality of each day with your loved one. For more information, call KRMC Hospice at 692-4680.
Happy holidays, Kingman, from the City of Kingman Youth Advisory Council.
We're giving back this holiday season with our second annual bedding and coat and hoodie drives.
We're collecting new twin-size bedding for Sleep in Heavenly Peace, non-profit building beds for kids who don't have one.
And we're collecting new or gently used coats and hoodies of all sizes to help local families stay warm this winter.
Drop off donations through December 11th at Lee Williams High School, Kingman Academy High School, the City Complex, or the Chamber of Commerce.
Let's make a difference together. A blanket or a coat can mean the world to someone in need.
Let's show Kingman cares.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, 28 past the hour. I'm your host, Larry Toonforce, and sitting in the guest chair, eating the Oreos, is Rich Lettman, our Mojave County Supervisor.
I am done with these Oreos.
District 2. Well, just because you put them back, that doesn't mean anything. Let's talk a little bit about the medical examiner, because for a while it's a hot topic, then it's not, then it's overpriced, and then we don't have the land, we don't have the building, and where's it at today?
It is coming home.
Coming home? County.
So, yeah. So, Larry, do you remember when you saw this? I think you have a copy of this.
Oh, yes, up on your board.
The radio audience can't obviously see this. It's a copy of my dry eraser board. In my office. And I think the second week in January when the board arrived and we put it up, I put up there something called D2, District 2, priorities, you know, going down the list, more sheriff's deputies, more judges, bailiffs, Davis Camp, airport land, went on and on. There was medical examiner, the fifth item down.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been there. And anybody who would have walked into my office for at least the last 4 to 5 months
would have seen it.
Well, no, they would have seen that for the entire year. Yeah. They would have seen the section in the red, which you've really never said, and that was there's got to be some kind of plan to obviously bring this in-house.
Okay.
So what... To summarize this as best I can, I think with three new members of the Board of Supervisors, we needed time to understand county finances, how a morgue works, how a medical examiner's office works, what other people are doing, say, for instance, Coconino and Yavapai counties. What do? They both have in-house services, both have morgues.
Okay.
What does Clark County do? Not a good comparison because they're so large, but nevertheless, pretty good. So we get in there, and the old board, prior to us being sworn in, has, I think in November or December of 24, decides they can't make up their mind on this thing and kind of punts it. And I believe they I believe they said in the meeting, I'm pretty sure I was there, that we're just going to let the new board decide what to do with this thing. And so we inherit a contract that has effectively expired and moved over to a month-to-month provision that's incorporated into the contract. And this little puppy's going on month to month. And I'm not sure that's a really good way, okay, to manage a medical examiner's office.
Right.
I think in April or May, we take our first stab at a request from staff.
This coming April or May.
Yeah, 26. No, just half. No, of 25.
Oh.
The five of us are up there. And of course, Travis and Ron have both dealt with this before. They don't need as much information as Sonny, Don, and I do. So they're pretty good at understanding what's going on with the whole situation. So I believe it was April or May, we asked for the, can you kind of, I believe I was the one who put it on the agenda, kind of tell us ballpark cost, what it would cost to do all this. I took a look at it, ran some modeling on my own that kind of said, I'm not sure this makes sense in terms of the cost advantage that the incumbent has, okay, over bringing it in-house. That's a factor. It's not the only factor. So I did two things. The first one was I presented a motion which the board approved, I believe 5-0. Might have been 4-1, but I think it was 5-0, to terminate, okay, this month-to-month contract, which is a lousy way to run a business. You've got to have more guardrails and an end date, start date, stop date.
Sure.
This kind of stuff. It's just not good business planning in my book. Second, we said, I would like to propose that we put out for RFP, a new RFP, for 1 year.
Explain to the listeners RFP.
Request for proposal.
Okay.
That we allow other people to bid on a medical examiner contract that would start in January 1st of 2026 and run for just 1 year. Okay, so just run for a year.
Okay.
That got approved.
Which more or less also states we got a year to get it together.
No. We have a year to evaluate what's going on. And by the way, understanding that the incumbent may not get the contract, may not win the RFP. There's two other bidders on this.
Okay.
And that we might find out that Monolith, which is out of Kingman, or the group, and I can't remember their name, out of Las Vegas, they have a better way to run this.
Maybe.
Smarter way to do it. Maybe we ought to keep this thing in-house. So anyway, we term the month-to-month to close out on December 31st of 2025. That's step one. Step two, we put
Six weeks.
Yeah, we put in the RFP. Well, this is all going on back in April and May. Mm-hmm. We put in an RFP that says we're going to do a one-year contract for calendar year 2026. Then during the budget session, you know, it's, hey, you know, we may bring this in-house. We may not. The new operator may ask us that they want the county to own a morgue instead of them providing one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a motion to put $4 million into the capital improvement fund for the purpose of building a morgue if we decided to go ahead and do it. So all the steps are in place. We now can answer the question, what comes first to bring it in-house, the morgue or the staff? And, of course, the correct answer is the morgue, okay? You've got to have a place to house county employees.
Sure.
Okay? So the RFP is opened up. The procurement department makes their decision, reawards it to the incumbent, very close contract. And he gets the contract for calendar year 2026. It is obvious from the feedback I am getting from the public, from remarks made by other supervisors in public session, from newspaper editorials, from my friends, that the day of outsourcing medical examiners needs to come to a close real fast. At the last meeting, I had an agenda item ready that did exactly that. It passed 5-0, which basically says Mr. Hassett and Serenity Group has calendar year 2026. It's theirs, okay? We would like to have a process where this operation is fully in-house by July 1st of 2027, understanding that transition doesn't just occur overnight on one day, that pieces of that will start moving in the spring of 2027. So, for instance, a great example would be the morgue might be ready. Okay. Okay, shift Dr. Mosley, whoever else is doing it. They can come on to work now in Kingman, Arizona, assuming that's where the board wants to put the morgue. And they can, we can start the transitioning of this process gradually over, but it must be complete by July 1st, 2027. That passed on a I'm pretty sure a 5-0 vote. Well, and we're bringing it in-house.
You've known John Hassett for years.
Sure.
I mean, he's been in the community and rent with the chamber and mixers and everything else. So you've had these conversations with him.
Mm-hmm.
How does he feel that the board's given him a year contract?
He's excited, has recommended we move it in-house.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of makes it easy then, doesn't it?
Sure does.
And, that's better than having somebody who doesn't wants to fight you.
Yeah, who wants to keep the contract. And anyway, it's coming in-house.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been pilloried by a few people over it. I think good planning involves strategy, having a plan. Plan's pretty much on the dry eraser board in my office. That's all I'll say.
All right. Let's take a break. I'm going to come back and chat with Rich some more. If you have a question, give us a call, 234-343-1065, or text 727-5566. Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you by Legacy Rehab and Care Center, skilled nursing facility, almost like a home-type setting. Check it out. Stop by 2812 Silver Creek Road yourself and look inside. And we're brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Hey, do you need a loan? Do you want that new interest rate? Do you want that lowest rate there is? Call Chad Hansen, 928-288-2691. You know he's got the key to the vault? You don't know about the vault? Stick around.
Are you seeking a career opportunity in a healthcare setting where you can make a difference in the lives of others every day? The Legacy Rehab and Care Center is looking for compassionate, caring individuals to join our team. If you're a nurse, certified nursing assistant, work in environmental or dietary, we would love to meet with you. Apply online today at thelegacyrehab.com. Legacy Rehab and Care Center.
This holiday season, keep everything running smoothly with TWN Fiber Internet. Enjoy faster shopping, clearer calls, and zero interruptions so you can focus on what matters most, family, fun, and festive cheer. Visit twncom.com/Mojave. That's twncom.com/MOHAVE or call 888-227-2095 to sign up today. Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply. Visit twn.com for more details and terms and conditions of service.
You're going to get hooked. Your Bullhead City Perkins has all-you-can-eat fish fry Fridays. Delicious Alaskan cod, hand-battered fish fry, every Friday starting at 3 p.m. There are many other fish meals available, too. Perkins all-you-can-eat fish Fridays are perfect. Then there are the pies. Eat a slice of pie there or take it home. Hey, take the whole pie home. But make plans to meet friends this Friday at 3 for all-you-can-eat. Perkins American Food Company, Highway 95, Bullhead City.
Oh, it's that time of year again. The city gets that little cold snap. The Christmas decorations are lining the street. The London Bridge is all aglow. And the city Christmas tree is ready to be lit. Boys and girls, moms and dads, get ready for the annual Christmas tree lighting presented by Radio Central. This Lake Havasu City tradition takes place at Wheeler Park, Sunday, November 30th at 6 p.m. We'll sing Christmas carols. Mayor Sheehy will read "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Chagrus will delight us in some yummy treats.
Ho, ho, ho!
Oh, and of course, Santa will make his appearance, escorted by our own Lake Havasu City Fire Department. So bring your own seat. If it's chilly, bundle up. A big thank you to the Lake Havasu City Parks and Rec team who decorates and helps set up our Christmas tree lighting. Bring your families and join your friends, Radio Central, for this year's Lake Havasu City Christmas tree lighting, Sunday, November 30th, 6 p.m. at Wheeler Park.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from our Bullhead City studio. I'm Larry Tuenforce, your host. Again, the numbers, you can call in, 234-343-1065. Or, if you wish, you can text 727-5566. We're back with Rich Lettman, our county supervisor, District 2 in Bullhead City. the easiest district in the county.
No, the best district in the county.
Oh, okay, the best.
Let's qualify that.
Well, Toby Cotter would appreciate that. Yeah.
He should.
Let's talk about water, because I noticed that Mr. Lingenfelter is having meetings and meetings and meetings because everybody wants our Colorado River water.
Most of Chairman Lingenfelter's meeting has to do with groundwater,
okay,
not necessarily river water. Even though he is on the board of the Mojave County Water District, so he certainly has a good understanding of water issues. His big focus clearly is on how to protect the Hualapai Basin, which of course obviously runs down that valley from Val Vista and parts north all the way down into Kingman. That's their primary source of water.
Okay.
And, you know, you've got some big ag interests are out there around south of Val Vista that, you know, are growing almonds and pistachios or, you know, whatever these crops are they're taking. I'm not sure that's the right place for big ag to be in, but they're there. This is the way it is. They've invested in that community, and obviously him and the city of the county and the city of Kingman obviously are formulating strategies to make sure that we protect that basin without making it into an AMA, which is an active management area, which means state of Arizona gets involved and. You want to be careful about that.
Okay.
I would have some concerns over that. And but anyway, he's very, very focused on groundwater management issues, and obviously on the river. The river thing is a complete mess. Okay. Anybody that saw that press conference with Governor Cox from Utah and Governor Hobbs from Arizona, it didn't take a lot of. It's kind of obvious that. These upper basin states are not really in a cooperative mood about reducing their request for water. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of Katie Hobbs.
Okay. Caller, you have a question?
Yes, Larry. I wrote that over Davis Dam several times on my bicycle, and it's a beautiful ride. But the reason I'm calling, I live in the Golden Valley, and what he's talking about right now is water. And we have a problem in Golden Valley that they're going to try to put in several thousand homes out here and change zoning. And I was thinking that if we had a thing where if it was more than 20 homes and they're going to do the zoning, that we need to vote on it, countywide. That's my idea, and I'll hang up and just but I just love Golden Valley and looking out over 90% of it where I live, to have supervisors that can change the whole nature of our valley. It just makes it really hard on the people living out here. But anyway, I do love Mojave County, and anyway, I'm not complaining. I just would love some way that we have more control over our own destiny.
Okay, stick around. We're going to talk about that on the air. What do you think, Rich?
Okay, we'll disconnect from water. We'll switch over to Golden Valley. I like Golden Valley too.
Yeah.
By the way, so what the caller is talking about is the general plan update.
Okay.
This is an extensive conversation. It has to do with there are two very large developments coming into Golden Valley. The first one is the former Privada and now renamed. Oh, boy. Harmony in Golden Valley, something like that.
Okay.
Original, it is a plan development approved back in 2006, I believe, maybe 2008. A plan between the county and the developer. And this is back, this is the same board back then that was just doling out deals left and right, including, you know, an update to this disaster agreement with this area. I call it disaster with the airport here in Bullhead City, but we're not here talking about the airport
yet.
But anyway, the Privada development, now Harmony at Golden Valley, I forget, 6,000 houses, something like that. The developer, his sons are now running it. they've come back with plans. During the general plan update, I made some motions and asked the Planning and Zoning Commission to strip out the high-density allocations in the Privada plan. We're told by the county attorney's office that will not happen because we have a development agreement that's enforceable. It doesn't expire until 2032, 2033.
That you didn't know about.
Well, no, we knew about it, but you can always try anyway. And so what's going to happen there is that the developer is starting out with his first subdivision of about 350 homes. Now, when I say this this development in particular, this is not the one the caller is talking about. This is down by Shinnerump Road, Aztec Road, and not far from the Shinnerump exit on I-40.
So, okay. On the south end of Golden Valley.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's Golden Valley. I would call that like southern Golden Valley. But the one he is far more concerned about is the Dorado development, which is Highway 68. You make a northbound turn onto Teddy Roosevelt Boulevard, and you go up to about 2 miles, maybe a mile and a half, and you get to the first of two sections of land that is, one section is owned by Engel Homes. The other section, he has an option. He may have already exercised it. I don't know. He has an option to buy that land. And then there's a very small section for commercial development that connects these two. By the way, these two sections are diagonal to each other. They're not abutting each other.
Okay.
Initial proposal on this thing, kind of crazy, about 4,400 homes, maybe 4,600 homes. I don't have my notes here with me. There's a lot of houses.
Yeah.
That's a lot of water.
That's a multi-year
development. Oh, it's a very multi-year process. And without getting into the entire story behind this, basically this subdivision was authorized, I believe, also back in 2006.
Okay.
And it came and under a different developer. The developer filed bankruptcy. There were about eight requirements that were imposed upon the developer through this agreement. Not all of them have been met. I know Supervisor Gold attempted to have this develop. I don't want to call it development agreement. It's almost like a zoning requirement. There were eight conditions to it to have it a rescission done to it, which means it kind of was
goes away.
Goes sort of. That didn't really solve the problem that the caller is talking about. So the general plan has these two sections of land. And my approach on this has always been, let's tackle the general plan first. Okay. I don't think the folks in Golden Valley are just going to get 1 acre lots on these two sections. My first step was to let's cut down the size of this development. And so, Mr. Engel did agree to take I think it's section 36, which is the northwesterly of the two sections, and return that to 1 acre parcels, which should make everybody happy.
Okay.
Then that leaves section 86, I believe it is, which is the southeasterly one, still at medium to high density housing in there, and you're still talking about 2,200 homes like that.
Okay. Big development.
Yeah, it still is. I think, you know, I'm happy with that compromise, sort of. I don't think the general plan is where I would draw my red line in the sand. I think the residents of Golden Valley are in a far stronger position than they realize, because obviously, even for 2,200 homes, Mr. Engel's got to figure out how to find the water's there, according to the state. But I mean, you're talking about sewer, you're talking about roads, schools, places for fire stations. You've got to get through a zoning process, and two of the existing members of the board were already on the old board that turned down his zoning request 2 years ago, whatever, 2.5 years ago. They're still on the board, and that was a 3-2 vote. You know, I'm not saying to take your victory lap right now, okay, cause I wouldn't do that.
But it looks good for...
Well, if I were counting my votes, and I knew that I'm not going to speak for Supervisor Martin. He does a very good job of it himself. It's obvious he doesn't like Dorado, the development we're talking about. And we already have two other supervisors that are still on the board who voted against it last time. That doesn't mean they'll vote against it this time.
Right.
But, you know, future action is best indicated by past, future behavior is best indicated by past behavior.
So you want to see a layout of all the infrastructure that
is required. I can't imagine, I could imagine, the likelihood of a bulldozer going onto this property and doing major work, you know, I could be 6 feet under, you know, in my 80s. I think the window on this is very far out. I certainly understand the fear of the residents out there, and I appreciate what they are bringing. I think there's just a more strategic way. If you want to defeat it, there's a more strategic way to do it, and I think they're kind of figuring that out.
Okay.
But obviously your general plan, which is a blueprint, it's not the final say. The final say is going to come in zoning, special use permits, terms, you know, plans and conditions of the development. That's where you start drawing your red lines in the sand, and I would say it looks pretty well for the residents of Golden Valley.
Okay. Let's take a break. Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you by TWN Communications. Elevate your online experience with fast, reliable internet, fiber internet. Call 444-8232. And Perkins America Food Company, where right now, if you want a banana cream pie for Thanksgiving, you better go buy and order it today. Or chocolate cream, or, you know, pumpkin.
The Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City is designed to help patients with skilled nursing. This includes personal care and hygiene assistance, meal service, laundry, and housekeeping service, plus an on-site beauty salon and beautiful secured outdoor patios where you can sit and enjoy the Arizona mountainous terrain. The Legacy prides itself by providing life enrichment activities for all their residents. See for yourself by following Legacy Rehab on Instagram today.
Mojave Electric Cooperative continues to build on its 79-year history and a legacy of service to our members. I'm Heather Foreman, reminding all MEC members that you can make a difference by voluntarily donating $1 to From the Heart with River Fund when paying your electric bill. River Fund, a local nonprofit agency, directs the funds to help local families in need with their electric bill payments. That's Mojave Electric Cooperative, helping our members make a difference through giving from the heart.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity provider and employer.
We have all heard membership has its privileges. That is true at Laughlin Ranch Golf Club. Right now, through New Year's Eve, membership for 2026 is now less than 90 cents a day, $2.97 for the year. Gain 40% off green fees, access the pool and fitness center, steam room, and showers. Now, Laughlin Ranch is always open to the public. Interested in benefits of membership? Sign up today before the end of the year at LaughlinRanch.com. Book your tee time, too, at LaughlinRanch.com.
Oh, it's that time of year again. The city gets that little cold snap. The Christmas decorations are lining the street. The London Bridge is all aglow, and the city Christmas tree is ready to be lit. Boys and girls, moms and dads, get ready for the annual Christmas tree lighting presented by Radio Central. This Lake Havasu City tradition takes place at Wheeler Park Sunday, November 30th at 6 p.m. We'll sing Christmas carols. Mayor Sheehy will read "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Chagrus will delight us in some yummy treats.
Ho, ho, ho!
Oh, and of course, Santa will make his appearance, escorted by our own Lake Havasu City Fire Department. So bring your own seat. If it's chilly, bundle up. A big thank you to the Lake Havasu City Parks and Rec team, who decorates and helps set up our Christmas tree lighting. Bring your families and join your friends, Radio Central, for this year's Lake Havasu City Christmas tree lighting, Sunday, November 30th, 6 p.m. at Wheeler Park.
Happy holidays, Kingman, from the City of Kingman Youth Advisory Council. This holiday season, we're giving back to our community.
We're hosting our second annual bedding and coat and hoodie drives to help local families and kids in need.
You can donate new twin-size bedding or new and gently used coats and hoodies to help keep someone warm this winter.
Drop off donations now through December 11th at Lee Williams High School, Kingman Academy High School, the City Complex, or the Chamber of Commerce.
Let's show Kingman cares, because a little warmth goes a long way.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from our studio, and we got 4 minutes left in the program, and then the news and Mr. Sean Hannity will be in your ears. And I know we could spend another hour talking about the airport, but can you summarize where the airport fiasco is today?
We could take another 4 hours talking about that. We could take 10 hours all day talking about it. We are technically in a quiet period.
Okay.
People can read it, what that probably means. So we're in a quiet period, but it's moving along. This airport board is fascinating.
This all started with you looking at the land, thinking that there's a way for Mojave County to make money on this land because you need to bring in more revenue.
Right.
And that's what started it.
Boy, did it morph into something different.
Yeah.
And I mean, just all it took was the first allegations of the open meeting law violations, which extremely well documented.
And that brought you and another supervisor to say, you guys should resign from this.
Yeah, that was Supervisor Gould and I issued a press release. That's been about a good 3 months.
Right.
Yeah, that was a result of the culmination of an email that was circulating between the members of this board who are subject to the open meeting law. And here's an email going back and forth, by the way, not copied to any member of the public that I'm aware of. And so we have this email going through the system that basically says, hey, we'd like to have a meeting at my house later today at 2 o'clock, you read these series of emails going back and forth. It's kind of obvious that four of the members, which would form a quorum, are getting together, and that did the meeting take place or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the mere fact that the email went out, this thing is scheduled out of the public purview
at someone's residence.
Yeah, at somebody's house. Okay. That doesn't sound good, and Supervisor Gould and I issued the press release saying it's time for you to step down. Now, one of the members did leave.
Okay.
Three of them still are up on that board, and my point of view about that is very, very clear. That's a pretty egregious violation of the open meeting law. It's one thing not to post a meeting correctly. Another thing to attempt to schedule a meeting in secret at a location that can't be attended by the general public without the appropriate notice. That's a pretty flagrant violation, and I'm confident some people with Phoenix are looking
at those. Do you think that sometimes they think they don't fall under those rules?
They've said recently that they are subject to the open meeting laws. I just don't think they like people like myself and some city folks and other county folks looking over their shoulders, asking questions.
That could be.
We could spend hours going on,
I know,
this, on these financials for this airport.
What's your phone number if people want to call your office? The guy in Golden Valley.
Yeah,
write this down.
928-758-0713.
Okay.
And Jeanette's on duty today.
Okay.
And Bonnie will be there tomorrow.
Okay. They'll take your notes and they'll have Rich call you.
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of calls. The calls we get.
Good. A couple of things to tell our listeners about. The Boombox Parade is coming up next Friday. Are you in the parade?
No, I'm a judge.
You're a judge. Oh, good.
And the judges will be sitting out in front of my office.
Good thing, because that's where they meet afterwards.
Yeah.
And then the next night, oh, man, it's a Kiwanis Community Caroling Christmas celebration at the John and Olivia McCormick Pavilion, Performing Arts Pavilion. That's at 6 o'clock. The Boombox Parade starts at 6 o'clock also. By the way, our gates will open at 5. You can come in at 5. And any questions, call me, 928-201-3313. And that's about going to can it for us. We're out of here. Mr. Sean Hannity and his program will be up next. Everyone have a great day. We're not back till next Monday, and it'll be River Founders Radio with Johnny Bodwin.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.